Deuteronomy, the second chapter. And we're going to begin looking at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord directed me. And for many days we journeyed around Mount Seir. And the Lord spake to me, Moses, saying, You have roamed around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward." And again, for our emphasis for today, verse number 3. "You have roamed around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward." And I want to talk about today an enemy called complacency. An enemy called complacency. Complacency is a feeling of quiet pleasure or security, often while unaware of some potential danger, defect, or the like. It is self-satisfaction or a smug satisfaction with an existing situation, condition, etc. And what it means by a smug satisfaction, it means that there is a content confidence of one's own ability, superiority, or correctness. It also means exhibiting or feeling great or offensive satisfaction with oneself or with one's situation. Self-righteously complacent. Complacency is an attitude that determines how we respond to given situations. How many times have we heard the statement, "We have always done it that way"? Of course, it must be right if it stood the test of time and repetitiveness. However, that is not necessarily true. The very fact that something is repetitious or repeated often can draw us into the complacency trap. Through our repetition, we learn to expect proven results until one day the outcomes change and we are no longer able to achieve those results. Why? Because now we are in a whole new ball game. Now we are forced to adopt a new strategy so that we can continue to compete in a constantly changing and evolving system. And that is an issue that many of us face in the church. The church is the only place where people don't like change. If you have a job, your job is constantly changing. If you go to school, the curriculum, the requirements are constantly changing. Even in your own personal life, in your home, in your family, the dynamic of your family system is constantly changing. Why is it that we get to the church and we want things to stay the same for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years? Things can't change. There are ministries that I've gone to, some that I went to for a number of years, and I go back and I go visit them even today, and they're singing the same songs they sung when I was in the choir. Which has been a long time ago, Brother Todd, about 20 years ago almost. They singing the same song, doing the same things, and sometimes instead of going forward, making progress, they've gone backwards. Sometimes instead of becoming more progressive, they have begun to move further into tradition. And then in those ministries, you often find that there are seldomly young people. Because they don't stick around anything that does not change, anything that cannot adjust, anything that cannot evolve. And so what we find is that even in your life personally, with yourself, you are constantly changing. You are constantly evolving. You are constantly developing. You are not today the same person you were last year at this time. You are not today the same person you were 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 years ago at this time. You have changed and you have evolved into a totally different person. And can I tell you something else? If you keep on living, a few years from now, you won't be the same person that you are today. And so if all of life is changing, we must adjust and adapt to change as well. We can never afford to get to a place where we become complacent, satisfied with things just staying the way that they are. You know what I found? That many times people want things to stay the same because we like the status quo. There is a theory, and I cannot remember the name of it, homeostasis, that's what they talk about. In family theory, they talk about this in family systems theory, that we're working towards this state of homeostasis. In other words, we're working towards achieving a state where things stay the same, where things are predictable. where things are, because predictable to us means safe. So some of us don't like change because we want what is safe. Wasn't that part of the definition? That there is a feeling of quiet pleasure or security, often while unaware of some potential danger. You think that just because things are the same, that they're safe, but what you're unaware of, if I stay in this same situation, I'm in danger. If I don't change and adjust and adapt with the times and with the change that is upon us, I'll soon be left behind. I gave the analogy yesterday that, when I was younger and we were going to my grandmother's house and I was in the backseat of the car and me and my sister had probably just finished fighting over who was going to sit by the door. You know how little kids do. I'm sitting by the door. No, I'm sitting by the door. So I had won this particular fight, I thought. And so I was sitting by the door and they took a sharp turn and Sister Coleman, I fell out on the road and they kept on driving down the street. And I'm yet laying in the road. And then finally, my mama realized her baby was not in the car. She said, oh, my baby. And they backed up and almost ran over me, Murphy. But sometimes that's the danger that we put ourselves in when we don't adjust to things. We run the risk of being left behind. Do you know you can backslide without moving? You can backslide, Murphy, and still be in the same place. How? Because God is still moving, but you're not keeping in step with him. He is still going forward. He is still progressing. He is still going to new heights and new levels and new dimensions. We're supposed to be changing and growing and evolving, but we're still the same person, still doing the same things. See, when you refuse to let go of the status quo with how things have always been, to your own little traditions and your own thoughts and ideas of how things should be, you run the risk of falling behind and backsliding. There are some people in the church today who are backsliding. And the sad thing is, Murphy, they don't even know that that's where they are. This is one of the things that the Lord gives to leaders, to those who have spiritual authority or spiritual insight over you, that leaders are oftentimes able to see things about you that you can't see about yourself. And they're oftentimes able to see things in you that you don't yet recognize about yourself. And there are some in our body that I recognize you are behind time. You are not in step with where God desires for you to be for this point in time in your life. And I mentioned to you all yesterday that the Lord has this ministry on a fast track. So that means, no, we can't afford to be dragging our feet. Now we got to trot a little bit here because he's not taking us slow. He's taking us a little quicker right now. So that means that, you know, sometimes we hear this oftentimes on the news where they talk about some of those animals, chicken and all those kind of things, so they can get them ready real fast to give them some steroids so they can hurry up and get them on to KFC so we can eat them on Sunday. Y'all don't eat chicken like me, but I do. So, you know, so they can get them to KFC, Walmart, wherever it is you buy your chicken from, they want to hurry up and get them on there, you know. But sometimes they just look wrong. Just them chickens is too big right there. I want that chicken. You don't cook right when you cook that one. You know, that look like a turkey leg, right? That's not a chicken. That was a big old chicken right there, Murphy. I don't want that one. He just too big. But, you know, sometimes they have to give them, look at this, they have to give them some extra boost to hurry them on up towards their destiny. You thought your trouble came from the devil. But really, God allowed that situation to come to push you in a place where you are caught between a rock and a hard place because he knew there you would begin to seek him and pray. So you thought your friend walking off and leaving you was because you picked the wrong person, but now you picked the right one. They just had a different assignment for your life right now. Their job was not to patty cake you and to befriend you. Their job was to hurt you, to stab you in your back so you can get to a place where it's just you and God. You thought they didn't like you on that job, and you thought it was the devil that caused you to get fired, but you didn't know that God really wanted you to do something else right now. See, because he knew that at this time, Brother Talley, you was putting your job before the Lord.
You started off running well, but you saw that job and that money and that overtime, and so you ran back the other way, and you forgot about the Lord. Yeah. You were faithful with your giving and your tithe until. So every now and then he has to take you back to square one so you remember where you came from. He says in Revelation 3, repent ye and do your first works again. So he has to revisit you with your first love to take you back where you first fell in love with him. You know, you remember real good when you get hurt. You remember real good when you start struggling. But why is it that God has to take us to a place of hurt before we remember? Why can't you just remember on your own? Why does he have to help you remember?